I'm going to talk a little about a new workshop that the Lectio Divina service team put together called the Four Senses of Scripture. And a lot of times we're invited in to introduce Lectio Divina to a chapter, and then a couple years later, after they've really developed their practice, we're invited back to then help them deepen their practice through the Four Senses of Scripture. And so we like to start at the beginning, and that is that prayer and Lectio Divina can be likened to that four-step dance with the Lord. And we've all seen that graphic. We read, we reflect, we respond, and we rest. And in any dance, the relationship of the dancers, how well they know the steps, how well they understand each other's next move, how they interpret the music, how well they like each other, become obstacles at first to the relationship and to them dancing as one. Have any of you watched Dancing with the Stars? Yeah. So we can see at the beginning of the season the awkwardness of the dancers to coming together as one. And then by the end of the season, they're able to dance as one. It's really quite beautiful. One of the attitudes that we bring to praying scripture is similar to the beginning of that story of the young Samuel. He confuses Eli's voice, or God's voice, with Eli's voice. And the prophet tells Samuel, "Lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" And that's the attitude that we bring into this prayer. In other words, we lie down, we put aside our false self, and we become defenseless in our relationship with God. And if we're willing to be vulnerable, we're open to hear what God has to tell us about ourselves, and we can learn and change, and then we can be transformed by the Word. Lectio Divina is a way of listening to Scripture. When we read with this listening attitude, our faithful listening deepens our faith and brings us to a contemplative understanding and approach to the Word of God and to our life's events. Lectio Divina is one of the ways we receive nourishment in Christ, the bread of life. We are fed by the bread and wine of the Word. Lectio Divina is a way of responding out of what we received. It's being in conversation with our beloved. So as we listen to a passage of Scripture, an inherent dynamic moves us to a deepening level of faith and understanding of the Word of God. These levels of faith were called the four senses of Scripture by the monks of the Middle Ages. They were designated the literal, allegorical, behavioral or moral, and unitive senses. And as we interiorize these four senses of Scripture, our understanding of Scripture deepens along with our faith. This inward change is reflected outwardly in our lives. As we take in the Word and receive the Word of God and are nourished by it, we become a Word of God, and our lives reflect that truth. It is in this deepening process that Christ invites us to when he says, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear," implying that if we listen on ever deepening levels, our understanding and faith will deepen. So as a reminder, the four senses of Scripture are reflected in the different moments of the prayer that we all know. The literal sense is lectio. We take and receive the Word. It corresponds to that level of acquaintanceship and relationship. The allegorical sense is meditatio, where we chew the Word. This sense of Scripture corresponds to the level of friendliness in a relationship. The behavioral or moral sense is oratio. We digest the Word. This sense aligns with friendship in a relationship. And finally, the unitive sense is contemplatio. We become the Word. This sense of scripture aligns with intimacy in a relationship. One of the quotes that we like to say around Lectio Divina is, we read under the eye of God until our hearts are touched and leap into flame. So we're going to look at each one of the senses for the next few minutes. In the literal sense, or that moment of lectio, where we are reading the word of God in scripture with increased attentiveness as an encounter with Christ, we listen as we've never listened before, with our hearts and our minds open. We enter into the word. The literal sense of scripture challenges us to hear what is being said. As a text may have more than one literal sense, a human author can intend to refer to one and the same time to more than one level of reality. And as we know, divine inspiration can guide the expression in such a way as to create more than one meaning. This sense of scripture is not to be confused with literalist or taking words literally. One must understand the text according to the literary conventions of the time, so in the gospel to Jesus' time. Each person's prayer relationship with the Lord is unique. One may explore the meaning of the text more effectively by means of imagining, placing yourself into the gospel passage, while someone else may gain more by savoring the intent or the truth or the insight into the passage. So diving deep into it in the way that makes sense to you. So as a word or a phrase draws us, we want to know more about God, to welcome God into our life, and to open up to God in greater trust and confidence. We want to learn who God really is for us, and what God wants to reveal to us. And during this moment, we may ask, what is this passage saying to me today? In the dance analogy that we talked about, this is when we're saying yes to our dance partner. We're saying yes to God. We begin to come together with the steps of the dance. And in Psalm 25, another way to look at it is, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. In the allegorical sense, or the moment of meditatio, we are reflecting or in pondering the word of God in scripture as a basis for this conversation with Christ. We ponder what we hear. We wrestle with it. We mull it over in our hearts. We talked about going from the head to the heart. This is also a prayer of the heart. As we open to the text, the hidden meanings begin to emerge. And as we interiorize the events of the scriptures, we slowly begin to realize that the gospel is about us, that our lives are mirrored on its pages. The scripture becomes stories about our own life journey. At this level of understanding, we begin to move towards a deeper commitment, which in turn means a greater vulnerability and openness to God, to ourselves, and to others. This interior dialogue may happen as we awaken to a more subtle, intuitive awareness of God's presence. As our deep longing for God is awakened, we let our defenses and our masks fall away. As we enter into this dialogue and share our concerns and ask our questions of God, our illusions are seen for what they are, needs of the false self, to be in control, to wield power, or to be the center of attention. And obstacles that impede the life of grace and the gifts of the Spirit within us. One of the great obstacles to hearing the word of God is our identification with this false self. with its habitual expectations, demands, and our shoulds that just won't go away. Because of the trust and honesty that developed toward God as a result of a lively identification with the texts of Scripture, we're able to confront this darker side of ourselves, and purification occurs. The wax in our ears are removed, and we are confronted with the attachment of our own ideas, our programs, and our plans. As we explore this allegorical level of meaning, our true self can begin to motivate us rather than our false self with its excessive demands and its hidden agendas. And Paul says to the Thessalonians, "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In the behavioral or moral sense of the third moment of the prayer, oratio, we respond with a movement of our hearts to what God is saying to us directly, what God is asking us to take a second look at. The word may bring up a question rather than an answer, something that we're asked to struggle with and wrestle with. And as we live and struggle with the word, clarity emerges, healing takes place, and we are changed. So we can move on. In the dance, we've heard the music, picked up the tempo, and we responded with our whole body and our soul. We respond to the movement of the person who's leading the dance. We are in God's arms when praying. The music is the word. If we allow ourselves to respond, we dance the dance. We let the word become a part of us. In this dance, the word is constantly pulling us forward by expanding our notions of what is meant by being persons of faith and giving us the courage to move through what we want to deflect. So the behavioral or moral sense is listening to Scripture to hear how Jesus calls us to live. We long for God because God longed for us first. We open ourselves to the light and energy of the Word of God and respond in faith. We open our hearts to God and put ourselves at the disposal of the Spirit. We are saying, "Thy will be done." Our yes is to God's presence and action within us and within our lives. When the moral sense has been experienced, new realizations begin to emerge, and we begin to understand how we are to live and to put practice and practice the scriptural message. As our lives connect with Christ's energy, the Spirit's light becomes our light. The work of the Spirit is characterized by freedom and by a new intuitive knowledge of God and the divine word in our lives. It's a lot deeper than the mind's work of understanding. It's that heart knowing. We call that wisdom. So we may find ourselves reaching out in love to forgive, to express one's gratitude for gifts given. In the unitive sense, or contemplatio, the dancer surrenders to the music and to the arms that hold and guide you. You are free to be with the other, face to face, heart to heart, presence to presence, being to being. You move about the dance floor as one. In contemplation, which we know as Christians is a gift from God, the word invites us into interior quiet and silence to a place of peace with God. There is a sense of rootedness that comes in being one with the divine presence. We let ourselves become silent, aware of God. We willingly fall into the arms of God, resting in God's embrace. We respond in love as the divine physician heals the depths of our being. The psalmist teaches us to pray in Psalm 34:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And Jesus teaches us in Matthew 6:6, whenever you pray, go into your inner room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will cause your life to blossom. And Paul says, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that Spirit, that very Spirit, intercedes with sighs too deep for words. So we sit with the Word. We let it wash over us and through us until our hearts leap into flames. It is as if the passage we are praying is one we composed ourselves. Reality, as it really is, not how we would like it to be, becomes apparent to us. We become aware and open to God's divine life at the center of our being. This level of understanding with Scripture is assimilation to the Word and the Word to us. As we let the Word take us, we become one with the Word. We become light. Such oneness enables us to listen and respond to the gospel at ever-deepening levels of faith. And this oneness is somehow able to be present in every part of our life in a participatory way. God's presence shows up everywhere because God's presence is everywhere. So when we talk about being a word of God, we like to use this Ephesians 1:4. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we might be holy and blameless before God in love. And in this passage, Paul describes who we are in Christ. God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless. Chose comes from the compound Greek word, which means spoken forth. Thus, we can translate this passage, God spoke us forth in Christ. Paul is saying that every human being is a word that God speaks into existence. Each of us is a word of God with a particular destiny. Holy. We are created in the image of God. We all have a basic goodness. And blameless. Our actions that flow out of that wholeness of being. In the book of Genesis, on every day, God said, "Let there be," and there was. God foreknew each of us into being as incarnate words of God who are to be holy and blameless. God seeks to bring us to full expression of the word that he meant us to be. John tells Jesus' invitation to community. Just as I have loved you, so you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. So as we become more and more the person God made us to be, our compassion, humility, charity, and purity of heart will permeate all we say and all we do. We are moved not only into silence, but from silence to expression. Our actions will express our love of God, life, and especially God's creations. We're like the apostles, silenced during the crucifixion, brought to action after the resurrection and Pentecost. This call to express our oneness with God takes us to living Jesus' gospel message in our own unique way. As we're gifted with a deep faith in an awareness of our oneness with God, we will respond in love. Union and love generate one another and appear as two faces or modalities of the same interior development. We become living flames. Our souls come alive. the heart of this Christian spiritual journey is God's determined will to transmit to us the maximum of divine life, light, love, and happiness that we can possibly receive. As we grow in our relationship with God, our sense of the indwelling presence becomes a kind of second nature to us, and we begin to sense it in everyone else, and in every creature, and every landscape. The Spirit flows freely in and through us, through us to others. What is important about us is not us, not our man-made selves, but the divine presence in us, God in us, relating to God, Spirit, and everything else. The way in which we listen to the Word of God touches the quality of our lives. The Word is reflected in us through the fruits of the Spirit and in the way we choose to spend our time and live our lives. Paul tells the community of Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Have you ever had the same sense that St. Paul talks about? A time when your actions surprise you in their Christ-likeness. When you may say, "I did that." Maybe it was serving a friend or a family member, or even serving someone you didn't know. Maybe it was a little thing like helping someone in the grocery store, or not snapping back to an angry family member. Maybe it was joining a ministry that you never thought was for you. It may also be in how you respond to Scripture. So I wanted to tell you a little story, a little testimony about my relationship with God through Scripture. And back in the middle of July, the Lexia Divina service team was offering a retreat in Denver. And I got a call on our third day that my dad was being taken into the hospital. And as I was telling Gail, the last time my dad was in the hospital was when he was born. So, and he's 78 now. And I talked to my brothers and I said, you know, does dad want me to come or can we wait? The retreat was gonna be over on Saturday. I said I'd be there Sunday, you know, as soon as I could get there at like 2 o'clock, because I was in Denver and my family lives in New York State. So when I did get to talk with my dad, he said, "No, Lee, you stay and you finish your mission and then you come. So I got to my dad on Sunday and he actually got out of the hospital on Tuesday, but we put him back in the hospital on Friday. And what we found out is that he had stage 4 lymphoma. So this was quite a shock to our family. And I spent the next month with my dad in the hospital. And what I found is that my prayer practices kind of fell away. I was able to pray my centering prayer every day, but not necessarily for 20 minutes or 30 minutes at a time. I would have my time of prayer for 2 minutes here, or 10 minutes there, or 4 minutes there, all throughout the day. And especially my, what I call my formal prayer, which is praying scripture through the office, that totally fell away to the point where I wasn't able at all really to read or pray my scripture. And so there was a whole month that I was really immersed with God and my dad, just being with my dad. And I shouldn't just say just, because it is being with somebody and it is so important. And that time with him was such a blessing, to be with him in the moment to moment, no matter what was happening. Some of it was good, some of it wasn't so good. But each moment I knew that God was with us. I knew and felt God's presence. So when I got home to Colorado at the end of August, I took a few days, and then I finally looked over, and there was my Magnificat waiting for me. And I picked it up, and I said, okay, it's really time to get down to pray in the office again. And I picked up my book, and I went to the day, and I think it was a Tuesday, and I opened it up, and the psalm that was there waiting for me and calling to me was Psalm 23. Which we all know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What I realized when I prayed that prayer, it was the first time that that prayer felt like it was my prayer, that I had written those words, that they were my words. And that's what we find in Lectio Divina and praying Holy Scripture, that there comes a time that when we are praying Scripture, it is our words, not just our lives, but our words, and we pray that prayer as if we were the composer of that prayer. And so we have a few minutes, and we are going to pray Holy Scripture for about the next 8 minutes. So I'm going to ask you to put your books aside and just become comfortable. We're going to pray Galatians 2:20, which we just heard earlier. And we're going to pray monastically, so I'll lead you through that. You'll hear the passage twice. Almighty God, we open our minds and our hearts to this word that you have inflamed. As we listen to this word for the first time this morning, you're invited to listen for a word and receive a word or a phrase that God brings to your attention. Then I ask you to sit with that word, slowly repeating it and laying it upon your heart and mind. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. To reflect, to pray, to rest, wherever you are drawn with this passage. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So my invitation to you is God's invitation to you also. That is to dance the dance with God through praying Holy Scripture. After, take your word or phrase with you that you received into your day, and you will find that you notice God's presence more and more within you, within others, within God's creatures, within God's creations. Dance and see. God is everywhere. Amen.